Last week I mentioned that taking the time for Septuagesima as our point of preparing for Lent, our spiritual preparation for Lent, the resolutions we made to do, what kind of like reading we can line up and meditations and other points of sacrifice and prayer that we can have during Lent. We use that during Septuagesima here to look toward Lent and what we can accomplish. And the liturgical grace for Lent, so we know this going ahead and use this as our point of preparation, is a conversion of our hearts, an actual change, a sorrow for our sin, an increase in love of God, so that we can show that we do love God and are thankful for all the sacrifices and sufferings that he showed forth to us in his death upon the cross, and be able to live for him in every way. So again, that means that the liturgical grace for Lent that we expect and we pray for day by day is this conversion of heart, this change of our lives from sinfulness. Even if it be, especially if we are getting the habit of mortal sin that we can change and turn toward God. Even if we have, by the grace of God, conquered that particular habit, at least get it on top of it better, still to show that any sin, even venial sin, faults and failings that keep us away from God or disedify people around us, all of these things, every one of us, some way, somehow, ought to always turn in this conversion toward God. St. Benedict, in his rule for his monks, speaks of this point of conversion. The Benedictines take a vow, at least they did traditionally, I don't know what they do now, but they took a vow of conversion of morals. That means that every day they would do all they could to change their life to become more and more perfect as the command of God is for them to do so, and to live as a better religious day by day. Now, I'm not speaking here of everyone here as a religious, but the thought here of this conversion of heart is important. St. Benedict, in that rule, makes a remark about conversio and why he calls it conversion. When you break the word conversion apart in Latin, it's called conversio. Versio means face, and con means turn away from. So if you put the two words together, conversio, it means I've had my face in this direction, and this face has taken me away from God by sin, temptation, bad habits, whatever it might be. Conversion, conversio, I turn my face and now go toward God. And that's what we're going to be working for as a theme this Lent, is conversion of heart, conversio, this change. The pathway we've taken so much in our lives before, up until this point here, in sin and temptation or whatever, maybe just not keeping up the habit of virtue, not praying our prayers well, whatever it is, we're on this path that's not taking us toward God as a children of God. Rather, we want to get away from that, turn, completely turn from that, and go in this direction. Now, that's going to be our plan, and this is going to be the theme. And Sunday by Sunday, and even our Wednesday sermons during Lent, will all work together to help all of us to focus on this particular point of conversion of heart, so that young and old, Lent will have a great meaning to each one of us. And pray, like Abbe Grangier says, that the grace of Lent does accomplish in our souls what should be done. Why God gives us through the church this season of Lent. Now, in order to do that, the first thing that we have to look at, and we look at the spirit of the church that's given to us in our thoughts for today at Mass, especially the thoughts from the epistle, is the thought of charity. And charity doesn't mean here of just doing good deeds and things of that particular nature. So often that's what people think of when they think of charity. Charity has to first of all start with love of God. St. John in his epistle defines God in one word, charity or love. Deus est caritas, he says. God is love. The whole essence of God is love. Love of the Father for the Son, Son for the Father. The Holy Ghost is the binding force of that work of love. Every element that we understand of the Blessed Trinity as the Blessed Trinity in that great mystery is based upon love that they have. And the love that the three persons in the Blessed Trinity have for each other, which is infinite in every way. It's just part of this great mystery and how we try to explain in our feeble minds what we mean by the Trinity and how God exists. St. John simplifies it just saying God is love. And in that love, it is so powerful, so changing in every way, that it does this work in the life of the Blessed Trinity. So imagine what love of God can do for you and I in our lives. Imagine what it would be if our hearts were so captivated by God himself that we turn to lovers of him instead of lovers of ourselves. Now, this is about the time people start thinking, you know, getting the deer in headlight looks when you start talking about this from people. Because either for young people, older, doesn't really matter. They say, I can't see God. How am I supposed to love someone I don't see? Married couples will say, we see one another. We love each other. We see the deeds that we do when we accomplish all these particular things. I love my children. Children love parents. I love these particular things. They show forth that love and they mean it and they're right. When we start talking about the love that you and I are supposed to have for God, goes above beyond the sensual nature and the sentimentality. There are some people that think if I pray all these particular prayers, if I make the sign of the cross frequently over and over and over again, that's going to prove to God that I love him, even though I may be attached to sin and don't conquer sin in my life. Then where's the love of God? No amount of prayers, no amount of mumbling, things like that, no extra signs of the cross or genuflection will change. It's not a proof of my love for God. I have to prove, when I say I love him, then I will hate sin and turn to him. So no matter how much mumbling of prayers, how many things that I do and distractions I have through them, if I have sin, you can't have, they're polar opposites. And while in the mumbling of prayers, I think I'm doing all these great things for God and doing and growing in all this spirit and all this kind of stuff, whatever, God doesn't hear those prayers. Or he might grant some grace to finally move our hearts to love him, to convert, to change, so we'll stop sinning and really love him and really have some meaning to our prayers. This is what we start talking about with conversion. In order for this conversion for us, away from sin, bad habits, whatever it might be, to God, and to live as children of God and be on that pathway, secure in every way, it takes a change. A change the way things that we're doing right now. What's that saying that's out there? You know, the definition of foolishness or whatever is to continue to do the same thing, even destructive thing, over and over and over again, and think by that way you're going to make something different, do something well. I think I continue to sin, have bad habits, blow off in anger, give into temptations against purity, so far, all those particular things. And somehow, some way, I'm supposed to be able to grow in my love for God? Huh? Yet we are commanded to do that. The very first lessons of the catechism for us are plain and clear. Why did God put us on this earth? To know, to love, and to serve him in this life. So I'll be happy with him forever. I'm supposed to give my whole heart, my whole soul, my whole strength to him. Everything that I have, all about me to him in love. Now, there we go. Here we come back to this point. That deer in headlights look. Father, I can't see God. How can I love him? I can love my parents. Our couples can love each other. But how did a husband and wife get to that love for each other? They got it, first of all, in meeting each other and growing in knowledge of each other. And that knowledge of each other formed a security. And that security was a love, a trust, a faith in each other. And that is what built up that long. The bond of love in them became stronger the more they knew about each other, had hope and trust in each other. Then the bond of love was strong. If that's how it works with human nature, it definitely works that way with God. The love of God is the perfection of faith, which means the stronger my faith is, the stronger my love in God will be. If I truly believe that God is a provident God, a loving God who cares for me in every way, the crosses and trials of each day, no matter how big they might be, come from the hand of the same loving God as joys and consolations will be. If I truly believe that, then I have one element of why I love God, because he loves me. God loves me. God proves my love for me every time I look at the crucifix. He dies upon the cross for me out of love for me. I don't deserve it. God gives me grace to make changes in my life. I don't deserve that grace because I betray him so frequently in every part of my life. Why should God love me? Because he said he will. I am his creature. He has loved me so much as to die for me, give me the church and the sacraments and all these graces, so I can live for him. God has done so much for me. How can I not love him? I don't need to see him face to face. That's heaven. I'm happy on this earth to see the effects that he has in his love for me. And in that knowledge of all that he does, that my love will grow. No conversion of heart is going to be successful unless we first of all have a love for God. What are we going to convert ourselves to? Away from sin and temptation to what? Some general idea of God, something we think about, whatever it might be? It's not right. It's not the way that it is. If I love God, I want to change so that I'm worthy of my beloved. Isn't that what husbands and wives do during the courting period? Make the changes so they can court the beloved, win the heart of that beloved for marriage. Well, oftentimes Solomon in his Canticle of Canticles, I mean, the saints have reflected upon the attachment of our soul to God is like a spiritual marriage, and we have to handle it that particular way. Always living for and looking toward God in every manner. And in that way, we grow in our love for him. So it's important for us to understand the foundation of the entire gospel is the love of God for us. And the lessons in the gospel are there to teach us how we are to love him. But so few meditate on this, and so they don't grow in the love of God. They say it is so difficult for them. Want to grow in your love for God? Then cut out the distractions of the day that keep your mind so filled with other things, worldly things, that rob the spiritual life. Again, you can't be so filled up with the worldliness and thoughts of the particular age. Listen, playing games on the internet, going on the internet so much. People say, well, Father, but I'm on Facebook, I'm on blogs, you know, Catholic blogs, and we're talking all these important things and whatever, but you're not praying. You're not doing your duties as you need to be done throughout the day to thank God for the gifts that he has given you to do these particular things. As Our Lady of Fatima said, the first sacrifice God asks of all of us is that we do our daily duties well. When does sitting behind a computer, even putting on blogs, even Catholic blogs, all these particular things be something that we accomplish, things for him? How do we grow in the love of God and all those particular points? Oh, you have all these pious sentimentalities. Maybe move a little bit of our heart toward God. But we don't have enough time in our own way. What am I going to do personally to reflect upon him? What do I do to meditate? And if you took the entire Lenten season, day by day, took sections out of the Imitation of Christ and really meditate and reflect upon those things, then just in that 40-day period, you're starting to move toward God. But you can't meditate if your mind is so distracted with all these other exterior things. Going out and seeing people, you know, doing all kinds of stuff, whatever. At some point, we've got to do what we need to for our souls. Our souls are more important than anything else, any other distraction around here. What does it profit a man, our Lord asks, if he accomplish all the things in the world, but suffer the loss of his own soul? It's a question that needs to be answered in our own hearts. Do I understand what that is, the value of my soul, how God so loves me, and all he asks for is my love in return? Stop saying, I can't see God, therefore I don't know how to love him. Build up what it takes in faith. Do spiritual reading. How many times have you read the lives of the saints to see how the saints lived for God and loved God? There you have a pattern then what you can do in your life. It can be done. It is being done. There are people around who do love God, even though they don't see him. But there's a far greater number who don't, or only have such a wishy-washy love that it's so... It's like the gospel story of today there. It's like the seed of grace that God gives. It's going on the rocky ground. Can't plant its roots. It just gets withered away. The wind blows it away. That's the kind of love for God most people have, and it has to stop. We've got to turn away from the selfishness the world gives to us in every way and turn to God for all that he has done for us and will continue to do, for what he has in prepared for us in heaven. St. Paul, you know, he talks today about being caught up into the third heaven. Later on, he remarks in another epistle, I have not seen, nor hath ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, but God has prepared for those who love him. many of us can say those words and mean it in the depths of our hearts and want to strive every day of our lives to be worthy of that final goal? This is what conversion is all about. The conversion we're going to be seeking all during this Lenten period, first of all, must be based on a true love for God. That God is selfless in his giving of himself to us, we have to do everything at that particular point. Young and old, everyone must do this and overcome sin and temptation. Pray for each other. There's so many different things we can do to accomplish this particular point. So let's make this our end point. Let's pray as we finish up. We've got like 10, 11 days, maybe something like that, left of the Septuagesima season before it's Ash Wednesday, where we have the ashes placed up on our foreheads. That ashes upon our forehead is the commitment that we're making to God, that during Lent, I will change. Conversio. I will turn my face away from where I've been before, turning to God. That's what those ashes mean. But they won't have any other meaning to them unless I receive them in love and an increase of faith. Today, this is a grace to pray for an increase of love, how to love God better. And as we do, the more we love God, the more he loves us. That's the great benefit from all this. And let's pray we can all realize it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Expecto resurrectionem mortuorum, et vitam venturi.